Hi, I'm Lisa DeLay, and you're listening to the Spark My Muse podcast. Excited to interview Daniel J. Lewis, the virtuosic creative behind the Noodle Network, the man who is one of the top how-to podcasters out there, and he agreed to come on my show, and I'm just very grateful. If you're one of Daniel's regular listeners and you're joining us today because of his recommendation, I just thank you so much for joining us, and I hope you enjoy the show. This episode of Spark My Muse is sponsored by Sparky's Jumpstarter Marketing Kit. This is a kit that's free and available in the show notes of this episode, episode 11. And if you use the promo code SPARK, you'll get it for free. So I hope you enjoy that. If you're planning to do a podcast or you'd like to know about some free digital tools that are available out there, this kit guides you through each tool, strategies for using each one, and kind of the best package you can get for yourself for the least amount of money when it comes to digital marketing. Daniel and I have a lot of fun talking about creativity and podcasting and even marriage. So on today's wine segment, we're going to talk about wine and wedding cake. This is wedding season, and since we happen to talk about marriage in my interview with Daniel J. Lewis, I thought, why not do a wine and wedding cake segment on the show? So what kind of wine should you pair with your wedding cake? This is one of those things that you might not even have wine at your wedding, but a lot of people have champagne. So the best rule of thumb for wine and wedding cake is this. The wine should be sweeter or of the same sweetness as the wedding cake that it's being paired with. Wedding cakes usually have a fruity element or rich kind of fruity sweet taste. Sometimes they're frosted with buttercream, and a variety of white wines go well with that. If you happen to have chocolate cake, this pairs well with darker wines, red wines, and drier wines. But it tends to be that some of the cakes with the intense or bittersweet flavors go better with a red wine. Green skin grapes pair well with lemon wedding cakes. And there's a tangy flavor that you can bring out the citrus in the wine and the citrus in the cake. Make sure that if you're serving champagne, that the champagne is as sweet as the cake.
I'm Daniel J. Lewis, and I help others launch or improve their own podcast for sharing their passions and finding success. I do that through a variety of tools, whether it be making solutions for podcasters, like mypodcastreviews.com, or teaching podcasters how to do something in one-on-one consulting or through products like my SEO for Podcasters course. And I also host several podcasts myself, including the award-winning show, The Audacity to Podcast, a clean comedy podcast, and the number one podcast for ABC's TV show, Once Upon a Time.
How did you get started in podcasting in the first place?
It started by listening to podcasts. In 2005, when iTunes launched with version 4.9, they introduced the ability to subscribe to podcasts in it. And I remember one of my coworkers saying that this was huge. This was really exciting. So I thought I'd check it out. And I just searched for technology podcasts at that time. And I found a couple podcasts that I then started listening to. I found This Week in Tech. I found Jesus Geek. And I found MacCast. And I really liked the podcast. I'd been listening to audiobooks. I had a long commute at that time to my job, and I'd been listening to audiobooks and then listening to the radio sometimes. And I enjoyed talk content, but I hated the approach that they would take on radio, interrupting it so much with ads and a lot of news and weather and traffic, stuff I really didn't care about. I wanted the content. And I loved that with podcasting, I could consume exactly what kind of content I wanted and get to know the hosts a little bit better. And I was actually listening to podcasts through my laptop computer sitting in the passenger seat of my car while I was driving. I didn't have an iPod or anything like that back then. And at one point, I realized these guys are using technology I know how to work with, like audio editing, website management. There's this thing about RSS feeds I could probably figure out, but I realized I know how to do this same stuff. And it always been this idea in my mind that it'd be cool to someday have a radio show of my own where I could talk about whatever I want to talk about or something. And I thought, I've got content, and that is some clean comedy stories. I was a bachelor at that time, and I had these stories that other people would love to hear when I would tell them. And I thought I could turn that into a podcast. So I realized I have the knowledge or know how to get it. I have what I think is a message worth sharing. And that's what inspired me to launch a podcast, then my first in 2007.
And I also, I'm similar to you in that I really appreciate the content of the medium of, I guess you could say it's radio or, you know, broadcasting, audio broadcasting, that because basically so much media is just so full of extra stuff, and you know, can't watch television anymore because it's, you know, 28 minutes of an hour show is actually the show. and I could see why people wind up binge watching on Netflix or something to just kind of, you know, scoop up the good stuff and leave out all the rest. But I'm similar to you in that as I started listening more to podcasts, I thought, well, this is a great way to reach different people, and in a way that it's this really sort of pure. And I wanted to kind of take this opportunity in this venue too to just sort of publicly thank you, because I had considered doing podcasting in 2012, but the learning curve I realized would take me 3 to 6 months to kind of get my head around it and figure it all out. And then recently, when I was researching in December and January of this year, then I found your things, and it probably saved me 6 months of time, because your videos are great for just making it really simple. And now the apps and the integrations are all available within WordPress and Blueberry and PowerPress to really make put the obstacle way down and the learning curve way down. And so I was just sort of thrilled that I found your stuff and I found it at the right time. So I just wanted to also just kind of take that opportunity to thank you for all of those resources that you provide.
Well, you're very welcome, and thank you for all those nice things.
So a lot of times when I'm speaking with people and I've started this podcast or also in interviews, I like to find out what the faith background is of each person I'm talking to. And, you know, I'm kind of a Krista Tippett wannabe, basically. But I was curious as to your upbringing and background and how that kind of plays into your creative process and some of the work you do.
I was homeschooled, if you couldn't tell by how, you know, antisocial I am.
I was homeschooled too.
then we'll just go sit in our corners and not make eye contact. very conservative upbringing in a Christian family. And the importance of the Bible was always emphasized in my family. And I grew to understand that and grasp it. But at the same time, also, what I really appreciate from my parents was teaching me skills in critical thinking, not just going with the flow of everyone else or not shunning all kinds of things, but thinking critically through things and applying the principles in scripture to my life and not separating my life from my faith, but intermixing them. And in my upbringing, I was very interested in creative things. Like, I got a copy at one point of some kind of design software that was so old, if you wanted to italicize something, you would actually have to put that word on a new line. And this was like black and white text editing system. And it was extremely complicated, but I loved it. I loved creating things that looked like printed design work. And I started getting into design work, and at the same time started actually appreciating my music training. because I think everyone goes through this period where they hate their music training. And I started grasping it, really enjoying that, and started learning to compose with music. And I even went to a school for music composition skills. And these different aspects of art and creativity were starting to build into me this appreciation for creation, for creating things, for creating ideas, creating content, creating something that motivates people, and doing it in a professional way. And I don't mean professional like a job, but professional in a way that people will respect it as a good work of art, not just something slapped together, but something with quality in it.
Yeah. And that whole process of creation is also kind of the feature of my show, is kind of what makes people creative, and what part of that is kind of not coming from us, but coming from God, and we're cooperating with it, and that sort of thing. And so what inspires you creatively to keep, because I noticed you have your whole Noodle network, and you have a lot of creative things going on. And do you ever get in a slump, or what continues to inspire you?
There are frequently slumps. Everyone has their writer's block and a designer's block or content creation block. But what inspires me is, for one thing, to realize the value in what I'm trying to present. It's not just about me, but I'm trying to present value. But what's really at the core is the verse from Colossians 3 that says, whatever you do, do it with all your heart as working for the Lord and not for man. And that's what I try to keep in the front of my mind is, okay, I'm not just doing this for my client. I'm not just doing this for my audience. I'm actually doing this for God. And so it needs to be to God, and God alone be the glory. And is what I'm doing actually good enough for my creator? Okay, it might be good enough for my client, but is it good enough for my creator? If not, I need to do better. Because as a Christian, our faith really should show through in everything we do. After all, our worldview that we have, regardless of the faith background, the worldview shows through in everything. You see this like in movie productions. I have another podcast that I used to host. Now I've passed it off to the co-host. It's called Are You Just Watching? And it's where we teach critical thinking skills as we look at movies. And one of the points we often make is, yes, you'll see anti-Christian ideas in movies, or you'll see attacks on the Bible, or you'll see certain things that just their nature goes against Christian thinking. And what we have to realize is that's not always actually their intention to attack Christianity. They're just being consistent with their beliefs. And Christians need to do that too. If we are actually being real about our faith in Christ, we need to be consistent with that. And that should show through in everything that we do. If it's not, then maybe your foundations are in the wrong place. But so for me, it's connecting that, yes, I'm doing this for people. I'm also doing this for Christ. And I need to illustrate the ideas of Christ, of order, of something that glorifies the creator and how beautiful it's created, or how helpful it is. Sometimes it's even just a matter of being like the Good Samaritan, just helping people, showing the world that there's something greater, and serving them, not being there to try to condemn them for their sins, but certainly show them God's love. And it's not just lifestyle evangelism, but it is living a lifestyle consistent with my faith so that I open doors to be verbally evangelistic.
Did you go to college after your homeschooling stint?
Well, I see college as the opportunity to learn something for your life or for your career. And I didn't want to just go to college like everyone just seems to default to. Instead, I wanted to go to learn something specific, and that was music composition. In fact, I didn't want to learn all this other stuff. I didn't even want a degree. I just wanted to learn college level music information, music composition. So I went to an unaccredited school, and I got basically the equivalent of a bachelor's or master's degree in music education and music theory. And that's what I studied, and that's what I was passionate about at that time. And I've composed some music since then. And the last piece I composed was my wife's wedding processional. And I also composed my sister's wedding processional. And I've done other arrangements and some compositions here and there. I don't use that information anymore, but the understanding of patterns and order, and also at the same time, the combination of some good tension and resolution, and a lot of these things help spill over into other areas of creativity, into producing content and into designing things and creating things. So I wouldn't say that the education was a complete waste. I don't have a degree to show for it, but I really don't think degrees are that important anymore. It's more the knowledge and the experience. Right. A degree is one way to get that, but there are plenty of other ways today to be able to get that.
Yeah, it's really changed in the last, you know, as soon as Harvard and iTunes University went up, I thought, oh my gosh, this changes everything, because you can, I mean, some people want you to have a piece of paper, but you really can get almost any kind of information you want for free right now. And I think that it's kind of turned education right on its head as far as what is expected, and, you know, valuing experience over book knowledge is like that. That seems to be the biggest thing you can have right now is just the experience.
Right. And you can get that without the formal education. And sometimes you can get better knowledge and better experience without the formal education, because sometimes education lacks behind in a few years. And especially in the areas of technology, you really have to be current on it.
What kind of words do you have of inspiration for people who are creating things, or maybe they want to start a podcast? And do you have any words of wisdom to leave us with?
My suggestion is, if you're thinking of getting into podcasting, the most important thing to think about is your message. What is it you actually want to share? Make that message either helpful or entertaining, or it can be both, not just your own personal story, unless you have a really helpful or entertaining personal story, but it needs to be something where you're giving. Focus on giving out there. Plan this message. That's where you need to focus your time. Don't get all distracted by trying to pick the perfect microphone, the perfect website, or trying to save every single penny where you can. Yes, I admire that, being frugal, certainly. But don't spend your time on there. Don't stress over that. Stress over your message, because that's what people will come for. They'll come because of the content. They'll even forgive some bad audio quality sometimes, but it really doesn't take much to get decent audio quality today. Focus most on your message, but also, so that's one point there, focus on your message. The second point is, don't try to be perfect. Don't wait until you have everything perfectly planned out or scripted, or every perfect piece of equipment, your website beautiful, whatever. Jump in when you can. Plan, yes, but don't plan to perfection and never launch. Plan and jump in. It's a combination of both, really a balance between the two.
Yeah, I think, I can't remember if it was Brené Brown or she was quoting someone, and she said that the perfect is the enemy of the finished. Yes. And, you know, it's like you could just get stuck trying to not, and I think maybe it even just comes from not wanting to look foolish or like you're a hack or something like that, if people feel like everything has to be perfect. And I think that that can really just mean it never happens.
Yeah, one of the things I learned from playing piano in front of an audience is there are those times when you'll be playing and you'll mess up. How you handle the mess up is what matters. Yes, you can try to be perfect and you stop and you play the measure over again, something like that. But then it becomes distracting to the audience. But often if you just keep going and don't let that little glitch stop you, you don't try to be perfect, many people won't even have noticed there was a problem at all, because they were focused on the whole production, the whole piece of content you were sharing. And the same thing applies in podcasting.
Well, thank you so much for sharing some of your morning with me. And I'm sure that a lot of people will really enjoy what you have to say. And I'll be pointing them in the show notes towards your resources. And just once again, really appreciate all of the stuff you're doing for creatives like me who don't have quite that background to be able to just know it immediately. It's been just great to find you out there and then connect with you now. So I just really thank you for that.
You're very welcome. Thank you for this great opportunity too.
Subscribe to the podcast and stop by sparkmymuse.com and leave your comments.